Blog Talk Radio.
Hermetic Hour, and it is June 10th, 2010. Tonight, we're presenting an introductory lecture on Enochian magic. I'm your host, Poke Runyon, and I've been at practicing Enochian magic for quite a while, I think about 40 years. I don't claim to be an expert on it, and anybody who does, it's such a marvelously complex system that anyone who does claim to be an expert, you better watch out. And with that in mind, I'd like to read an opening Enochian passage here. It goes, Odo Kikle Ka'a, Odo Zazma, Pla Pili Yadnamad. Now what that means is open the mysteries of your creation and make us partakers of the undefiled knowledge. Now, somehow or other, I think we can't get through an hour talking about Enochian without defiling some part of it, because, as I say, it's very complex. But we're going to try to make it, especially for people who are really not familiar with it, we're going to try to make it a little more accessible. Now, Enochian magic was originally the creation of Dr. John Dee, who was Queen Elizabeth's astrologer and a secret agent for the crown, the original 007, by the way, and that's where Ian Fleming got the 007 for his James Bond, was because that was John Dee's code number when he was communicating directly to Queen Elizabeth. John Dee was a very famous mathematician and a scholar in Elizabethan times. That's, of course, the same time as Shakespeare. And John Dee was a devout Christian. He not what we would call a fundamental Christian. Dee would be described as more of a Rosicrucian type. In other words, he had a great interest in mysticism and in the occult. And in those days, this was more accepted, providing you were on the side of the angels. And Dee was very interested in communicating with the angels. And being a mathematician and being a scholar of languages, he read Hebrew, he read Latin, he read Greek. He was really trying to get in communication with the hierarchy of the angels. Now, in order to do this, in those days, the Western world didn't have yoga. They didn't have yoga, and they didn't understand hypnosis, and they didn't really know how to acquire psychic ability if you didn't have it. So consequently, Dee needed to acquire, hire a scryer. In other words, a guy to do his psychic scrying for him. And Dee, of course, would jot all this down and interpret it, but he needed a scryer, he needed a psychic. So he'd gone through a couple of them, and finally he found a fellow by the name of Edward Kelly, who had a great deal of talent, and he hired Edward Kelly to be his scryer in this angel magic experiment. Now this is back in the, you know, in the in the 1500s, and so Kelly was a very talented psychic, but Kelly was also not a very savory character. He had been arrested for fraud, and according to, I don't know whether it's never been proven, but it was said that he had his ears lopped off as a punishment for fraud, and that's why he wore his hair down over his ears. Kelly had a kind of an unsavory reputation, although he was something of an alchemist, and he was fairly well, you know, fairly well read in Agrippa but nowhere near the scholar that Dee was. Now, they started out, and over a period of 5 years, with Kelly on the crystal ball and the dark mirror, and Dee with the notebook specter taking notes and asking the questions, they started working with a series of angels. Now, I want to explain one thing about Enochian new people coming to it probably don't understand. In those days, the Book of Enoch, which was rediscovered in the 1700s, the Book of Enoch was not available. The only references that they knew of in Enoch were the ones in the regular Bible, and they knew that Enoch talked with the angels and was taken up to God. But this whole tradition of the fallen angels from the Book of Enoch was not available to them, and so consequently they did their own version of it. In other words, they talked to the angels themselves. They didn't have the Book of Enoch as a go-by, and that's important to note because there are differences. As those of you get into the Book of Enoch and then you get into the Enochian system, you realize the two systems are not really exactly the same, and that's the reason for that. So what they got over this 5-year period was a very, very complex and a very marvelous system of communication and of magical structure, magical systems and communication. It isn't just one system in Enochian, there are several systems. So what they have here is a whole universe of angels who are talking to them. Now, this thing finally came down to a system whereby Dee, being a secret agent for the crown and whatever, Dee kind of wanted something to where he could, a system where he could control the politics of various countries in the world by magic. Now, I know that doesn't sound very Christian, but it does sound very Elizabethan, actually, being his, you know, being the agent and the counselor of the queen. So they started working on a system with the angels talking to them in the crystal, that would divide the whole known world into 30 sections. And they would have angels that they would contact, which would control each section. And their chief angel that they were dealing with, Nalvaj, he went along with this, and he was going to give them the divisions. Now, they developed a system called Terrestrial Victory, which means just what it says. In other words, this is victory over the provinces of the earth. Now, so what they ended up with was, oh, it's the 30 divisions with all these various sigils and governors. I had 3 governors per section or per country or whatever, and 4 governors for the one that began the start of this. And this system, they actually at one point tried to sell this system to a Polish nobleman who was in line for the crown of Poland. He wasn't buying it, but the system itself became transformed, and nobody knows quite when this took place after Dean Kelly died, the system became metamorphosized into a scrying system that goes from the lowest level of the astral plane all the way up to the highest level of perhaps what the Theosophists would call the mental plane or whatever. You'll want to take that kind of a structure for it. And very similar in many ways to the 30 aeon system that Valentinian the Gnostic had come up with. I'm wondering if anybody has made that connection, you know, really on Enochian, because it is very similar to Valentinian Gnosticism in this respect. And what this system does is it takes the whole universe and it accesses it by a series of tablets, 44 square tablets, that are each attributed to one of the elements. Now, this takes a little bit of explaining, and I will try to get through this, you know, for you so you can understand a little better. But first, before I say that, I got to tell you a joke. Back during the end of the beatnik era and the beginning of the hippie era, which is about the 1967 or something like that, UCLA invited D.T. Suzuki, the Japanese Zen Buddhist master, over to give a speech at UCLA, and they had about 1,500 students fill the auditorium, and D.T. Suzuki came out on the stage, and he bowed to everybody, and he said, "Zen Buddhism is very hard to understand. Thank you." And he bowed again, and he left, and that was the end of the lecture. Well, you know, it's almost as if somebody had come out and said, "Enochian magic is very hard to understand. Thank you." Now, let's try to see if we can make it a little more understandable. Now, Enochian magic operates similar to, these tablets look like a crossword puzzle. Now, what they do, the tablets, the four tablets, the watchtower tablets, the four watchtowers of the universe, it's as if you're standing in the center of the zodiac. You know, let's say you're at the center of the zodiac, and you remember in Hermetic science, you're God, you're the representative of God. So you're standing at the center of the universe in a circle, and the zodiac's all around you. Well, in the Middle Ages, in astrology, they did square horoscopes, and they like to put all the elements together in one, you know, the four cardinal signs, the earth signs, the water signs, the fire signs, the air signs. They put them all in bunches rather than run them all around in a circle. So you have these tablets. They do represent the whole universe, the zodiacal universe, but the cardinal signs are all up in separate tablets. So what you end up with is you end up with the air tablet in the east, the fire tablet, all the fire signs in the south, all the water signs in the west, and all the earth signs in the north, and you stand in the center of this. These tablets can all be put together into one big square, and then you have a cross down the middle of them that ties them all together, and then that's called the Tablet of Union, and that's pulled out and made into one little tablet, and then you hang that in the middle, and that unifies them all. And those are the highest angels are on there on the Tablet of Union. These tablets look kind of like big crossword puzzles. Now you need to understand that this being basically a Hermetic system, even though it doesn't exactly match up with Agrippa and with the Golden Dawn, but then it is essentially a Hermetic system because both Dee and Kelly were Hermetic magicians, and so consequently the structure of these tablets, the way they work like Kameas. And a Kamehameha is a magic square. And a magic square, if you probably know from you've probably seen these magic squares before, they have, you can make sigils out of them. You can, the magic square has a series of numbers, and those numbers also relate to letters, because Hebrew and Enochian, too, both have alphanumeric equivalents. And so you can make a name and pull it out of the square with a little design, you know, like sort of connect the dots, like a kid's connect the dots thing. And so these tablets are a grid. It's a grid with all these different Enochian letters, and then you can spell out the names of the angels, and you can spell out the names of the governors of the different aethers and everything on the tablets. You can also do this with your wand when you're standing in the center. You can evoke from the tablet, and then you can trace out the sigils of the governors on the tablet itself. Now, how does this work? How does this actually work, besides being some sort of an acrostic game? The way it works, I think, is that it works in your deep mind. In your deep mind, once you have this structure developed, and you have it, and your mind has absorbed the structure, this universal structure that you've created, then these names, once you draw them out and once you pronounce them, and once you start activating these tablets, these names activate patterns and activate visions and patterns and processes in your deep mind. Now, there are two ways to look at this. One way is that, and this would be called, I suppose, the subjective psychological way, would be to say that, well, yeah, they do. They activate these things down there, but it isn't really mechanical. It's more symbolic, metaphoric, and more of a indirect method. That depends upon imagery and depends upon this. The other way of looking at it is that the actual sounds, just the sounds that you're producing here when you do this, actually act like little switch triggers, bing, 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 inside your mind, and they get these things going. And, of course, the idea here is that our minds, especially in the Hermetic philosophy, our minds are linked to the whole universe, and our DNA takes us all the way back to the prehistoric times, and we remember all these things. And remember, Socrates once said that you don't learn anything; all you do is just remember. the Skinnerite or the reductionalist would say, oh, well, the mind's a blank slate, and all you're doing is just playing around and pulling switches. But we know, and Noam Chomsky proved, that we all have a grammar machine inside us. We have this grammar machine built in. We're born with it. Now, this is a key thing in Enochian, this grammar machine of Chomsky's, because Edward Kelly, who was doing the scrying when this language was brought forth, Edward Kelly did not have Latin, he did not have Hebrew, and he did not have Greek. Dee did, but Kelly didn't. All Kelly could do was read and write English. So, when the angels delivered this language was entirely, that came out of Kelly, it was Kelly's grammar machine that was creating the language. And the incredible thing about this is that the language that Kelly created and Dee took down, and they did it backwards too, so this is another incredible thing about it. It came out backwards, and then and Dee wrote it down, so there's no way they could have faked it. This language has a syntax and a grammar. You can translate it. You can speak it, although it has limited vocabulary. Its vocabulary is limited to spiritual biblical type thing, so it has, it's kind of limited in that respect, but you can speak. In fact, our movie, Beyond Lemuria, which I get a little plug in for here, we have translatable Enochian all through the movie. We're speaking it and delivering it and receiving it, and it's all translatable. So if those of you who are you want to hear some Enochian actually in use, you know, you might want to take a look at the film. So they got these tablets with all the Enochian letters on them, and they had all these sigils of these governors. But after Dee and Kelly passed on, other magicians started to work with this system. Now, nobody knows quite who. I don't think anybody knows. I mean, there's probably some Enochian scholar out there that's listening that probably does know, and if so, you know, you might want to call in and tell me. But I don't know who first came up with the idea of using terrestrial victory as the ascending aethers, in other words, starting at with the lower astral and going all the way up to the highest level. I don't know who was the first one to do this. I don't think it was Tom Rudd, but it could have been. But no, I'm not sure. But by 1909, Aleister Crowley, he really wrote his most beautiful and most powerful piece of work. I think, anyway, called The Vision and the Voice. And this was written in 1909, and he walked across the Sahara Desert in Morocco with his protege, Victor Newberg, and the two of them, Crowley scried these aethers with a big topaz that he had, and he transcribed... He received and transcribed his visions of the 30 aethers, starting with the lowest, which is Taitz, and it's spelled Tex, by the way, but it's pronounced Taitz. Starting with Taitz and ending with Lile, which is pronounced Lil, which has, of course, some jokes about that. Well, I'll go from text to Lil, you know. No, but it's Taitz to Lile. Anyway, Crowley started with this crying, and frankly, he pretty obviously enhanced his visions after he had them, but oh boy, The Vision of the Voice is a marvelous piece of work. And you should, of course, realize that it's after the Book of the Law, and it's very thelemic, and his interpretations are thelemic. But regardless of that, it's a marvelous piece of work. And now, these aethers, they form the primary system that most of us use practicing Enochian these days, or exploring the aethers. Let me say something, though, before we get into actually doing a little aether exploring or started on this. Let me say that that Enochian angels are not all wonderful, loving, and benign creatures. They're not, please don't get the idea that because Dee was a devout Christian and all, don't get the idea that these Enochian angels are all good and sweet and wonderful. They're not. They're, in fact, they're rather alien, they're rather abstract, and they are just not spirits that you can comfortably relate to. They are different. They are very different, which I think is one of the things that makes them exciting and interesting to deal with, is that they don't have that human relation. They're not archetypes. These are aliens, and they are not necessarily your friends. And
you should be aware of this. At one point, Kelly got up from scrying at one point and said, "I can't do this. They're demons. I can't do this anymore." And he was going to walk out on Dee. He said, "They're evil. I can't stand it." And Dee told him, "No, that's not true. Get down. Sit down. You know, and then at various times they would, like one little spirit, Madime, was running around naked and whatever on dancing around on the altar." And not that there's anything wrong with that, but then at one point, the so-called angels told Dee and Kelly that they had to share their wives in common, through Kelly, of course. And Dee naturally didn't want to do that, neither did his wife. They were both, devout Christians. And Kelly said he didn't want to do it either, but they did. And they did do this, and this was so. This was not a fine pagan. I guess it was. To pagans wouldn't find it all that uncomfortable. Although I don't know, I think I'd be a little upset by it. But so don't get the idea that these angels are all sweetness and light. Also, too, you should be aware that these angels are. That this system is very, very apocalyptic. In fact, Don Tyson even pointed out that he thought that it was designed to bring about the apocalypse. And, in a way, when you read the Call of the 30 Aethers, which I will do here, you can kind of get an idea of the character of this. So I'm going to read the call in English right now so you can get an idea of it. "All ye heavens which dwell in the first air, ye are mighty in the parts of the earth and execute the judgment of the highest. Unto you it is said, behold the face of your God, the beginning of comfort, whose eyes are the brightness of the heavens, which provided you for the government of the earth, and her unspeakable variety, furnishing you with a power of understanding to dispose all things according to the providence of him that sitteth on the holy throne, and rose up in the beginning, saying, the earth, let her be governed by her parts, and let there be division in her, that the glory of her may be always drunken and vexed in itself. Her course, let it run with the heavens, and as a handmaid let her serve them. One season let it can be confounded with another, and let there be no creature upon or within her the same, and all her members let them differ in their qualities, and let there be no one creature equal with another. The reasonable creatures of the earth and men, let them vex and weed out one another. And their dwelling places, let them forget their names. And the work of man and his pomp, let them be defaced. His buildings, let them become caves for the beasts of the field. Confound her understanding with darkness. For why? It repenteth me that I have made man. One, while let her be known, and another, while a stranger, because she is the bed of an harlot, and the dwelling place of him that is fallen. O ye heavens, arise, the lower heavens beneath you. Let them serve you. Govern those that govern. Cast down such as fall. Bring forth with those that increase, and destroy the rotten. No place let it remain in one number. Add and diminish until the stars be numbered. Arise, move, and appear before the covenant of his mouth, which he hath sworn unto us in his justice. Open the mysteries of your creation and make us partakers of the undefiled knowledge." Now, that is Enochian. And it's kind of sobering to realize that this seems to have an origin in the book of Revelations and the book of Daniel. And this is This is very reminiscent of William Blake's William Blake's apocalyptic poetry and artwork and whatever. This is kind of scary stuff. And so, and Crowley, when he did, and of course you're remembering that this is Crowley's interpretation of Ptolemy, you get in Teias, and when he's doing Teias, it's arise, 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 let the light of the sight of time be extinguished. Let darkness cover all things, for my father goeth forth to seek a spouse to replace her who has fallen and defiled. Seal the book with the seals of the stars concealed, for the rivers have rushed together, and the name YHVH is broken in 1,000 pieces against the cubic stone. Tremble, ye pillars of the universe, for eternity is in the travail of a terrible child, and she shall bring forth a universe of darkness. When shall he forth a spark that shall put his father to flight? Now, you see, like I said, even though that we know that Crowley, of course, that's done after the Book of the Law. However, that first aether, it does have some characteristics, like Crowley said. Crowley's vision and the voice, it's Thelemic, but it is in its Thelemic way. It's accurate to the aether itself. The aether, the way Schiller describes the structure of the aether here. It says location Teias is the lowest and most material of the aether. It's just located in the etheric plane or lower astral plane, which surrounds the earth and is in fact the etheric body of the earth. A brief description: this aether, as its name implies, is divided into four major sections as follows: north, the region of karma and strong karmic forces; east, the region of desire. Now, by the way, that north is where Crowley would, that little section I read you from the Vision of the Voice, that was from the north. East, the region of desire and charged with all manner of personal desires. South, the region of silence and a strong tendency toward nonverbal communication because of the difficulty in finding adequate words. And west is the region of personal limitations and a tendency of the ego to realize its shortcomings. Pretty good breakdown that Schiller has there, but I want to just mention my first experience with Teias, and I've been there for several times because, you know, we did the Aether program. And my first experience with Teias, I went to the south. What this, you go into the ball. The way we do this is we do the opening by watchtowers, which I'll briefly go over in a minute. And we're sitting around the altar, and we either close our eyes. We've sometimes experimented with keeping our eyes open, but I think it's better to close your eyes and project yourself into the orb on the altar, the orb on the double cube, and go into the aether. When we finish the chant, and the chant after the call, Zakaro Zambrano Rukikleka Zordigelep Zerlodokamada Wabiaida, and then we go and we project into the ball. Now, when I got in there, and it was this great big vast plane, and there were the four, at the four quadrants, at the ends of the quadrants, you could see these four stations. Well, when I got to the south, which is supposed to be nonverbal communication, here is this gigantic black onyx lion, huge lion, great big paws stuck out. He's, you know, sitting there with his paws stuck out like the Sphinx. And the lion looking down, and it was a live statue. And I could see that the lion was, you know, kind of alive. It had yellow eyes. And looking down at me, this big black lion. So I walk up in between the my little spirit body, I walk up in between the paws, and I look up at the lion, and I said in my mental voice, and I said, okay, show me nonverbal communication. And bingo, I was inside the lion looking down at myself saying, okay, show me nonverbal communication. Okay, he sure did. So that was my first experience in the South Quadrant of Teyots. Now, this is the sort of thing that you, I think this is the sort of, the reason I'm telling you that particular account is this is the kind of thing that you could look for in exploring these aethers. I would suggest, because of the nature of Enochian and because of the fact that these entities, if you want to call them angelic or not, they are so abstract. They are so different than the spiritual that we're usually used to working with, that I would not use Enochian magic personally for any personal gain, or for heaven's sake, don't ever try to use it for black magic. I mean, or anything like that. I know some people do, but I would use it, and we use it to acquire knowledge, experience, and to develop your spiritual consciousness as you explore the aethers. It's kind of like Star Trek, you know. You go where no one has ever gone before. You're exploring these higher planes, and you're visiting the realms where the entities in these realms, I don't think they particularly like you. And I don't think they particularly, this is one of the reasons why it's sometimes hard at a certain level to get into the next aether. Because these entities, see, they don't necessarily like you. Once you get in there, they'll give you the knowledge and give you the counsel, the knowledge. But I know there are other people practice Enochian that they think that Enochian can do just about anything for them. Well, okay, you want to do it that way? That's fine. Now, let me get into a little practical work here. And by the way, before I forget it, we've discussed Crowley's contribution, and I should mention that the Golden Dawn uses Enochian extensively in their inner order work, and they took Dean Kelly's system, and they tried with some success, and it's debatable how much success, but they tried to make it blend and link up, and they enhanced it to have it link up with the Kabbalah and with the Tree of Life. And so they added a lot of complications and a lot of correspondences and interrelations to the Enochian tablets. Now, some of that I think is very good, and I'm not criticizing it. It makes the system richer, and it makes the system probably does tie it into to the Kabbalah better. But you could also say that it's a force fit, and so Enochian has been split at this time. Enochian is split into two main streams. There's the deep purists who say they don't want to fool around with anything the Golden Dawn or Crowley did. They just want to do it the way Dean Kelly, they take the system and do it the way Dean Kelly set it up. And they have a point of view, and they have a very definite point of view. And then there are the people who follow the Golden Dawn and the later developments of Crowley. And this is where the system is made to fit into all the Agrippian correspondences that they wanted to make fit. And it becomes very complex. All the little squares and the tablets then become truncated pyramids, and you end up with tablets, if you build them this way, you end up with tablets that look like waffle irons. And this can get really, really complicated. At one point, Lon Duquette did a video on in which he had all these truncated pyramids, and he was moving them all around. It
we unfortunately that video never did get released, but or at least it never got released in any way that you can get a hold of it. But if you really, if you could, you would realize that the full complexity of the system. Now, yet on the other hand, regardless of the complexity, you could take it either way. You could take do it the way Dean Kelly did it, and there's plenty of books on how to do it that way, and then there's plenty of books on how to do it the other way. But now, Lon Duquette has come up with, and I got to recommend this before we get into this practical work here. I've got to recommend Lon's book because this is probably the best all-around book on Enochian magic that anybody's come up with yet. It's called Enochian Vision Magic, An Introduction and Practical Guide to the Magic of Dr. John Dee and Edward Kelly by Lon Milo Duquette. And it has a foreword by my old friend Clay Holden, who helped us out when we published the Golden Dawn's Book H in the Seventh Ray some years back. And Clay is one of the people who really, really, really is an Enochian expert. And Clay was very impressed with the book, and I am too. I'm nowhere near the Enochian expert that Clay or Lon are, but I think Lon has taken the Dee and Kelly system and managed to get it to where it's comfortable with the Golden Dawn amplifications. And he has blended the two to where it brings the two divergent streams back together. And so if you're gonna get a book on Enochian, a real book on Enochian that you can sink your teeth into and really understand and get it, this Enochian Vision Magic is the one to get. Now, along that line, however, if you are a new ager and you're just getting into Enochian and you're overwhelmed by all of this complexity, and I don't blame you, I would, it is somewhat overwhelming, then there is a fellow by the name of John DeSalvo who has come up with a nice kind of a new ager discovers Enochian kind of book called The Lost Art of Enochian Magic. And Lon Duquette did the foreword for him and the introduction for him. And John's approach is kind of comfortable and nice and doesn't particularly emphasize any of the dangers of this. He takes a very a positive, devotional kind of approach, and it's a good deal simpler and easier to get into, it's just kind of a nice thing. And I would say, because Lon recommends it, and on top of that, he has a CD in the back where you can pronounces the calls. The one thing that John DeSalvo says, I think needs more work on this, is that John DeSalvo is of the idea that the pronunciation of Enochian is very, very important. Now, Jeffrey James, we got Jeffrey James, the microfilm out of the British Museum to do his book called the Enochian Evocation of Dr. John Dee, which is a very good book. Before Lon's came out, it was the best on Enochian. Still is a good book. Jeffrey, said, well, the angels don't have vocal cords, and so it doesn't matter how you pronounce this. And that's one way to look at it. But John DeSalvo is of the opinion that the mechanical aspect of the actual sounds are very important, and they're triggering, regardless of all the romance and all the mythology and all the rest of this. He says it's the sounds themselves that's really doing it. And, he might just be right. So, if you're
if you're coming from a New Age perspective and you're just discovering this, I would take a look at John DeSalvo's book. Now let's get down and do a little practical stuff here. The key to doing Enochian magic is a ritual called the opening of the watchtowers. And hardly anybody has this. Brigardi did a little book on it years ago that almost nobody, if you can even find a copy, you're lucky. The opening by watchtowers is just not that much done. But yet it is essential. This is what you need to know to open Enochian operations and close them. And this is the activations of the tablets. Now, we have a video. It's called The Rites of Magic, R-I-T-E-S, The Rites of Magic, M-A-G-I-C-K. And you can get it on Amazon with one click. What are you going to do there? So The Rites of Magic, and just go there and just do one click, and you get this video. Now, this video has, along with path workings and hermetic yoga and seasonal ceremonies and communion and all kinds of stuff, including a really nifty little thing on alchemy, this video has a complete opening by watchtowers by Frater Olin, who really, really knows how to do it. And it's in our temple and shows the tablets and the whole process. I hardly recommend that. That's never been shown before. This is it. Now, let's open by watchtowers here. What I want you to imagine is that we're in the temple. We've got the double cube in the center. The lights are low. On the top of the altar, we have the sigil of Emeth, and we have this black onyx ball hanging above the ball, is suspended from the ceiling is the tablet of union, and then suspended around the east is the air tablet, in the south is the fire tablet, and the west is the water tablet, and in the north is the earth tablet. And these tablets are hanging there from wires in the ceiling, so it looks like they're floating in the air. And this is in the walls, of course, are all dark blue, and it's a dim light with the candles on the altar. Now, to open the fire tablet, we're over there to the south. And while drawing an invoking fire pentagram, we vibrate. Oi pe te apadoke. And then we draw a Leo sign at the center and we vibrate. Elohim. And then we say, by the power of the Archangel Michael and the names and letters of the Great Southern Quadrangle, I invoke ye angels of the Watchtower of the South and of Fire. Bitome. Now we continue to chant in a humming, low humming way, Bitome, as we move to the water tablet. We open the water tablet. While drawing an invoking water pentagram, we vibrate, Embearsielgaiol. And then we draw the Scorpio sign in the center of the pentagram while vibrating. And then we say, by the mercy of the Archangel Gabriel and the names and letters of the Great Western Quadrangle, I invoke ye angels of the Watchtower of the West and of Water. Hekuma. And we continue to chant, Hekuma, as we move to the air tablet. Now, the air tablet's in the east, remember, we pass by the earth tablet. While drawing and invoking air pentagram, we vibrate, Odoibazode. We draw an Aquarius sign in the center of the pentagram, we vibrate, Shamata. And then we say, by the glory of the Archangel Raphael, and in the names and letters of the Great Eastern Quadrangle, I invoke ye angels of the Watchtower of the East and of Air.
Excerpe. Now, we continue to chant in Excerpe as we move to the Earth Tablet, which is in the north. Go all the way around. While drawing and invoking Earth Pentagram, we vibrate Imurni Arektega. And then we draw a Taurus sign in the center of the pentagram while we vibrate Adonai. And then we say, by the love of the Archangel Uriel and in the names and letters of the great northern quadrangle, I invoke ye angels of the watchtower of the north and of earth. Inanda. Now, you'll notice what I've been doing, those final names that we chanted from the Tablet of Union. Now, we open the Tablet of Union over the altar. Draw a circle all the way around, and within the circle, an invoking active spirit pentagram while vibrating Exarpe Bitomai. And then we draw a spirit wheel in the center while vibrating Aya. We draw another circle, and all the way around and within, we draw an invoking passive spirit pentagram while vibrating Hikumananda. And then we draw a spirit wheel in the center while vibrating Agala. And then we say, in the names and letters of the Mystic Tablet of Union, I invoke ye divine forces of the Spirit of Life. And then we recite the portal call. O sonu forsage go ho iad balta. Elexarpe comananu debatom zodekara. Eke zodekara od zamaranu. Odo kikle ka. Piape piomel ode vaoen. And then we ring the bell and we say, Holy art thou, Lord of the universe, holy art thou, whom nature hath not formed, holy art thou, the vast and the mighty one, Lord of light and of the darkness. Now, we are open. Now, I have already read the call of the 30 Aethers in English. I do not think that we should read that in Enochian at this point, because we have 7 minutes, my engineer is telling me, my lovely engineer is telling me that we have 7 minutes left. And so, what we will do is we will skip to this, and we'll just give you the chant that after we would do the call of the 30 Aethers, then we would have the entrance chant. And this is what we chant while we're looking at the black onyx ball and the smoke is rising around the altar. And this means, move and show yourselves, open the mysteries of your creation, be friendly to me, for I am the servant of your God, a true worshiper of the highest. Zakarod zamran odo kikleka a zorge labzirdo nokomad hoathia ida. Zakarod zamran odo kikleka a zorge labzirdo nokomad hoathia ida. And then you close your eyes and you go into the ball. So let's do that right now. And put in the ball, you have your eyes closed. And there's this great plain stretched out before you. And there, in the east before you, you see a light. And in the south, far to the south, you see a fire, and far to the north, there's a snow-capped mountain, and behind you there is the water. And now, we come back out.
Come back out, and we close the fire tablet. While dragon banishing fire pentagram, we vibrate 08, but okay. And we draw a banishing water pentagram over the water tablet, and While drawing a vanishing air pentagram, we vibrate on the air tablet. Uru ibazute. And while vanishing an earth pentagram, we vibrate. Imordial tektega.
And we close the tablet of union while drawing a vanishing active pentagram. Vibrate. Iksarpe bitayom.
And drawing a vanishing passive pentagram, we vibrate. Hekomananta.
And then we say, I release any spirits who may have been imprisoned by this ceremony. Go with the blessings of Amasha, and may you come when you are called, and may there ever be peace between us. Now, this should be a fairly, I don't want to call it simple, but let's call it, let's hope it's an interesting introduction to Enochian magic. And it's only one part of Enochian magic, but it is the part of Enochian magic that is most frequently practiced, is the exploration of the aethers. And now we are going to start our aether program again, although we should pick it up higher up the scale. But that will be for the people that are higher up. But we're going to start our aether program again at TAITS for this class we have presently, just graduated second degree. We reserve Enochian for second degree, and because it is, I believe, an advanced system. And it's so Enochian and Galatia are second degree activities. We now have a second degree, just graduating second degree class, which will be going into Enochian and also into Galatia. So this is the introduction, and we'd appreciate your feedback on this. I don't think we have time for any calls, but I'm sure I made some mistakes. Like I said, I don't think anybody's really an expert at this. It's a marvelously marvelously complete system, and it's still evolving. So let's have your comments back on this and your questions. And next week we'll be back. Right now I'm not quite sure what we're going to do next week, but probably it will be something along the line of the Crater Apollo system. I think we should discuss the. We discussed that. So tentatively, we're gonna discuss the Crater Apollo initiatory system and its tradition, and that'll be on our next show. So we'll see you next week, and please give us your comments and your questions, because this is quite a big thing to bite and chew. So let's hear from you. Okay, have good magic, and we'll see you next week.